Isn't God good? He's been better to us than anything, any person that you could ever rely upon in this world. Greatness of God, incomparable, undescribable, but it's obtainable. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor, for having me and the senior saints. I was glad Vernon booked us in tonight because I'd have had to put up with them. You know, I sign them out of the rest home every time we go somewhere. They's all grown when I was born, so I don't know how old they are. You can tell how old people are when they fall down. They're looking around saying, there's something else I can do while I'm down here. Too hard getting back up. But God's grace is sufficient for every need. We live in a very hard world. And I got to change my sermon. Jeff Lewis just walked in. Sorry. I always preach on him whenever he's around. But... We live in a very cruel and hard world. Satan is fighting every ministry that he possibly can. If it's not by physical means, it is a spiritual attack. If it's not that, it's a financial need. If it's not that, it's kids. If it's not kids, it's grandkids. He is doing everything he possibly can to hinder and to destroy the Word of God from going forth. If man is only capability, which is within himself, it would stifle the plan of God a long time ago, but that's not where our help is. We were in Springfield, Ohio last weekend in a revival meeting, and the pastor there has a son, and that son was in the reserve, and they sent him to Afghanistan, and this boy is hooked on drugs and hooked on alcohol. Here is a pastor trying to minister to a group of people when one of his own is hooked in the vices of sin. Every place we go, you give an altar call. People will stand there and say, pray for my daughter, pray for this one, pray for that one. They're on drugs. They're hooked. They got a problem, this, that, and the other. Our world seemingly is becoming magnified with an influx of vice that we have no answer to in the common sense of our society. But there is a light still beaming in the house of God, because from which there is an answer and an antidote for every problem that the world is facing today. This precious book right here has the answer to every problem you have, ever have had, or ever will have. The problem of it is we don't dig ourselves into the well enough to draw from the resources that will supply the need in our life. We live far beneath the privileges that God has and the blessings he has for us simply because we are lazy or ignorant to the fact that they exist. Once found and claimed by faith, they can unlock doors and remove mountains. Amen. I like the faith of the lady years ago testified, and she said it got the faith of a grain of mustard seed. She said, I was on the mountain, and she said, I pray, Lord, remove that mountain, and I run fast as I can to see it splash into the ocean. Many of us can't get that kind of faith at all, but it will move the mountain of fear and doubt out of your life in order for the channel of the Spirit of God to flow and bring His refreshing into your life. I disputed several sermons tonight, didn't even know whether I was going to preach or not. You know, he said, well, I didn't ask him. I said, well, okay, I'll go prepared. So you toss around three or four, working on three or four, And you finally get to where you say, okay, God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. So this is what God told me to do. If you've heard it before, amen it like you ain't never heard it before. Because it's a fact that what we need in our church world today is more of Him and less of us. More of His power and less machinery. We can program everything to death, but unless the anointing of the Spirit of God is applied, we have nothing but a fine oil piece of machinery without any works that's following. It takes a transforming power of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in order to change a drug addict's life. You could speak to them. You could lay hands on them. You could fuss at them. You could threaten them. You could send them to rehab and spend millions of dollars if you had it. But I want to tell you, they're going to come back with the same chain. They're going to come back with the same addiction. But when the Spirit and the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost comes into that life and severs the addiction, He removes the source out of there and puts in there a power that they can live victorious life over top of whatever they're going through with. You'll never make it unless we find the fullness of God into our life. I'm just a hollering, stomping, snorting preacher, so excuse me for that if you don't mind. Book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 and verse 8, you know it by heart. We can, all us Pentecostals can quote it, but I'll read it to you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power. That's my little thought for this evening, is you shall receive power. One don't have to be a prophet to realize that we are living in a dying hour of this age. Paul labeled these days as perilous and dangerous. The Amplified Version says that they are times hard to deal with and hard to bear. Sin and corruption that reigns throughout this world may be the death rattle of a civilization that is sinking even now. I believe that the church is on the verge of the rapture out of this world. And what we got to do, what we must do, we have to do it quickly. But we cannot do it with our own ingenuity and our own talents and our own ability. We must have a source from above in order to come in to our midst to perform what needs to be done. We cannot do it on our own. If we could, we'd already done it. It takes something else. Many of our students are being equipped with certain skills, but their minds are not equipped for the fundamentals of peaceful living. Anything goes. If it feels good, do it. That seems to be the case. The devil has blown into many of our churches. In our day, the breath of worldliness and greed and selfishness and sin. He's covered our pulpits and our pews with the dust of fear and the defeatism that reigns. Many pastors that we go in churches, that you listen to them talk a while, there's a fear and there's a feeling of defeat. I want to tell you, that is the devil's job, but we can blow the dust off of that boy with the Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When the Lord told the prophet to prophesy, He said, cause the four winds of His Spirit to blow. And when it blowed life into a dead corpses. I'm here to tell you, the fear and the dust of discouragement can be blown out of our life when the anointing of the Spirit of God comes into our heart. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, defeatism is the cry of the majority of our day today. Like the Sardis church, they have a name that they live, but they're dead. Lord have mercy. We find so many churches that we go into that have no shout, have no praise, have no worship. There was a day that it was out of spontaneity when somebody talked about the Savior and the love of God. 10 or 15 people would stand to their feet, tears stream down their face. Somebody would shout and run an aisle of the enthusiasm. We have tried to hamper that because of fanaticism. I want to tell you, we have been worried about it so much that we have actually
closed out and hampered the real moving of the Spirit of God. I am still moved by the cross. I'm still moved to tears by the blood of the Lamb. I'm still moved by the effectual Spirit that dwells on the inside. You cannot talk about heaven without heaven on the inside beginning to churn. It creates something on the inside of our lives that makes us want to win the loss at any cost. Have a life. The Sardis church had a name that they lived dead. Just going through the motions. Going through the motions. They have a form of godliness. It ain't that they deny the power. They deny his rightful place in the church. Many of our churches, many big churches, has delegated a room into the basement or a prayer room off of the loft for the moving of the spiritual gifts. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It is this moving of the Spirit that convicts, that draws, and brings about the change. If you relegate it to some back room, I'm going to your back room, because that's the only thing that's going to meet the needs of our lives that we have today. Hallelujah. Hurry up. Okay. As a blacksmith is worth nothing when a fire goes out, so is Pentecost without the burning fires on our altars. Amen. Pentecost was born for such a time as this. Joel said 800 years, a little over, before the day of Pentecost. He said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Young men going to see some visions. Old men going to dream some dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit." These are those days. He said, "In the last days, saith God, we are living closer to the return of Christ and the end of time than ever before." I believe the fountain of Pentecost is more flowing tonight to those that want to receive it than it ever has been. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God that fell on the day of Pentecost, the same anointing that filled that upper room and shook the house wherein they are sitting, is the same God that's available today. If the same conditions are met, you can expect the same results. But the problem we face is we don't spend enough time in communion with God, but desiring his face. We don't spend enough time in pursuit of the anointing. The anointing is something that don't fall once. It must be maintenance. It must be continually sought after. The favor of God is worth my getting up in the morning and say, "God, I need you." The favor of God and the anointing of the Lord is worth me finding a place to pray and fasting 2 or 3 meals a week. It's worth me seeking him. For without the anointing of the Holy Ghost, we are absolutely worthless in our pursuit to fulfill his program. These are those days. Nothing will move a world and a church like another Pentecost. The upper room was only the beginning. It was only the start of this gusher. That flow has been increasing ever since. Nothing has stopped it except our unbelief and our doubt. It's still available to whosoever will. God's word, hallelujah. He said it is not by power. It's what God said. It's not by power nor by might, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Christ knew that Peter the denier and the crowd that forsook him needed something to help them stand. God don't always call the qualified, but he qualifies them that he calls. So that was what he told them. It's not an option, boys. It's a command. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't head off to preach. Tarry until you be endued with power from on high. You can't witness without power. You can't preach without power. You can't sing without power. You can't represent me without power. Don't leave until it comes into your life. But yet, how many of our churches today, what was birthed in the Spirit, they're trying to perfect in the flesh? Could I tell you something? All of the mental intellect, that's what we got nowadays. Most churches want to know what's in your head. They don't care about how much heaven's in your heart. I'd rather have a guy that can't hardly quote John 3:16 and know where it came from and have a direct line to glory than to have the smartest man in the world trying to explain to me something. That's just my opinion. That and a dollar and a half will get you a cup of coffee. God knows that they needed something. He said, don't leave this place until you be endued with power from on high. It would be the divine effusion necessary to the efficiency of witnessing. Exactly what they needed to get the job done. I'm going to tell you something. Before the day of Pentecost, the disciples had no idea. They walked with the man. They talked with the man. They slept with the man. They eat with the man, but they didn't know the man. They didn't know the cross. They didn't know what the cross meant. They shunned away from it. They didn't know what the kingdom come, thy will be. They didn't know anything of what that meant. But I want to tell you something. God had a purpose and God had a plan for to enlighten them and give them some boldness. So he said, through obedience and oneness of heart, they waited in that upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled all the house wherein they were sitting, clothed in tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Sitting in that room, not knowing what it was, nobody taught them to say words and syllables. Nobody tried to confuse them and give them the Holy Ghost. They didn't even know what it was. But all of a sudden, the dynamo of power from on high filled that room, and the fire got on each one of them, and every one of them was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. And that 120 fire baptized little band turned the world upside down, or rather right side up. I'm believing and persuaded to believe if we can get another 120 people filled and fired up with the power of the Holy Ghost, we could make a dent in Laurel County's meth labs and the drug addictions that's going on. It'll take nothing less than the anointing of the Holy Ghost moving in and through our lives to make us effective and adequate for the day that we live in. They didn't know about that cross. They had no idea. It was Greek to them. They didn't know what he meant when he talked about, I got to go. I'm going to die and on 3 days I'll raise this temple. They had no idea what he's talking about. But when they walked out of that upper room, the Holy Spirit, the Christ in you. Oh, the ministry was assumed again on the day of Pentecost by 120 people that walked out of that upper room. They saw the cross in all of its glory. They saw the meaning of the blood. They saw the meaning of the resurrection of the Son of God. And they walked out of there with blazing tongues. I can witness, I can testify, because the Holy Spirit has illuminated who He is and what He is and the purpose in my life. You'll never convince the world outside the doors of this church that God is alive until they can see it begin to illuminate out of your heart and out of your soul. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They carried the gospel with boldness. Did I tell you that's the same bunch that denied him and forsook him? Same crowd. Now they're carrying the word with boldness. And they did it lip to lip, mouth to mouth. They did it on the street, in the marketplace, on their jobs. They did it from house to house. They did it in every street corner. Anywhere they could find a place to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, they preached it. And they did it without seminars, leadership conferences, CDs, Bibles, or book reviews, or without a computer to download their sermons. I thought I'd get more response out of that. We got some lazy preachers, you know that? They won't pray, won't fast, won't seek God. They get in 15 minutes before they go to bed on Saturday night, or get up early on Sunday morning and get on that computer. I can't turn one of them on. And they get on that computer and download their sermon. We had a pastor in our church. I'm going to just get nosy for a minute. We had a pastor in our church when we first moved back down to the farm. And he was from the cemetery. I mean, he was a seminary preacher. Brilliant mind, but didn't have no spirit, no personality, deader than a doornail. And here's us kids been used to the fire, and we sit on the back seat, and he's up there, and he's got 4 pages. Never forget it, long as I live. And us kids learned that, so here we are. One, oh Lord, you know, that's another 35 minutes. Two, victory's almost in sight. Three, last page was always the benediction, so that wasn't too bad. But you could sit there and count the pages because he read what he had downloaded from a college professor. He read it as his sermon to these people. Could I tell you, I didn't see anybody get saved the 4 years he was there. Could I tell you nobody got healed that I can remember the 4 years that he was there? Because the element that made the word productive was not there. It was the anointing of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. If it's not evident and not working together, we're accomplishing nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll be, you see, Peter, after the day of Pentecost, the one that had forsook him and denied him, Peter stood up and preached and 3,000 souls were saved and the first mega church was born in a day. Some of these guys think that they big stuff, you know what? Oh, I got a mega church, I got 3,000 people. How long did it take you to get that? Peter did it in one sermon. Next time, preach had 5,000. And he was so good that the Lord added to it such as should be saved. They had a daily increase. All because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that illuminated the Word of God and give revelation of what God really meant and applied to their heart. And because of the illumination into their lives of the Word of God, they were able to stand and to explain this Christ that you crucified. I didn't know about that cross myself. I didn't know about that, Peter could have said. But this Christ that you crucified is the one that was talked about in the Old Testament. He is the one, the Messiah. He is the King of glory. And because of that spiritual infusion, I have revelation. Could I tell you something? It takes revelation in the ministry from God. And when we get up, it takes anointing to deliver the revelation. And when we deliver the revelation, it takes the anointing to convict the hearts and apply it to souls. Once that's been done, it still takes the anointing to draw them into Christ. Without the moving and the weighing of the waves of the Spirit, we are dead without any hope whatsoever. I can't change my boy, neither can you. I can't change my neighbor. I can't get that kid down the street off of drugs, but I want to tell you there is a power and there is a source, there is a resource, glory to God, that knows no barriers. The same God that walked through that closed door can walk in that bar room and convict that old boy of his sins. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't try to outsmart and outwit and get intellectual on me. You've got to realize that it is not by power, it is not by your mind or talent or ability, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord that transforms lives. We in the church need that more every day of our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of Pentecost, I'm hearing, the power of Pentecost that fell was called dunamis, and everybody knows that's called dynamite. But did you know the big boom, the dust, the flying rocks are not the purpose of dynamite. That's the results and the effects. Purpose of dynamite is to move some barrier or object out of your way that you may be more efficient. On the day of Pentecost, that big bust and big boom and the fire and the wind and the speaking in tongues was given to remove the barrier of weakness and inabilities. It put a spine and a backbone in them that they could go out and witness. This power, this anointing
breaks all yokes, removes all barriers, and creates a spirit oneness in worship and praise to God. I have a funny story to tell you. You can't do anything for God. You can't bless nobody else until you overflow. That's a fact. You need it all yourself unless you got too much and it's overflowing. We go to some of these churches, bless their hearts, and there's a whole church full of people, half full, trying to overflow. You don't have to laugh at this. It's a sickening thought. People without the fullness of God, but yet they're still trying to overflow. People without the fullness of the Spirit, yet trying to minister without Him as if they could do it by themselves. Churches that are still in operation today and the Spirit has long left. The Lord is at the door knocking, wanting back in, but they're running it on their own and they don't even know He's left. But it is that Spirit and that anointing when it overflows brings a oneness in the choir, brings a oneness in the praise. It brings unity in the body of Christ. We become one voice working as one man for the kingdom of God. It is the unity that attracts the Spirit and gives Him a place that He can work through in our life. Division will repel anybody from wanting to come to your church. Argument, feuds, and fusses ain't going to bring new people to your altar. They're not even going to want to come to your church. But when love is there and unity is there and people are working together for the common goal, they'll drive 30, 40, 100 miles just to get to your church to feel what you've got. It still works and it's still available today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many churches put more emphasis on the intellect than they do on the Spirit. It's the Spirit's job to quicken the Word, to convict and to draw. If not operating together with the Word, we're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I told them someplace we was at the other day, I said, we go to some churches and they considered if you run the backs of the pews or jump the pulpit or you got up and did the swaying or the two-step that they really had a great service and you've been blessed. And I said, you know, country music singers can do that. Rock stars can get you up swaying, dancing, hooping, hollering. They can get you motivated. That's the reason many of our churches is filled with motivational preachers today. Because we make you feel good about yourself. You come back and put tithes in the offering. But now we can't get you to where you're going to run from sin. Nobody wants to sacrifice. Nobody wants accountability. Nobody wants to pick up the cross and follow Christ. Nobody wants any restrictions tagged anywhere. But could I tell you something? Every promise in this book comes with stipulations. If you abide in me and my words abide, so I ask whatever I want to, you better abide in Him or you ain't gonna get anything from God. He said, as long as you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, then are you my disciples. There is qualifications that we must reach in order for the Spirit of God to continually be upon our life. There are things that we are losing every day out of our, in the Revelation, he told the church, he said, you ought to strengthen the things that remain that are about to die. Fervid prayer, fervid worship, glorious praise being offered in unison to the Son of God. We ought to strengthen those things that are about to die. Oh man, Pentecost, we was marked. People knew us. They could tell us a mile away because of the joy and the exuberance in our heart. They'd come to church, so those old rafters begin to ring as the saints of God that had been brought out of the hell holes and the honky tonks and the beer joints that God had dug them out of that pit got up to stand and sing and testify. All heaven would come down because in there was an anointing of the Spirit of God of a witness that what God's Word had done in their life. God, give us a witness of the greatness of God in the hour that we live in. The coming of the Holy Ghost. He said, therefore we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
I don't want to lose our Christian heritage. I don't want to lose the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to let him die off somewhere while we try to run the show by ourselves. But God opened my heart to realize it must be you. I'm only a conduit. I'm the only medium. I am the only channel that you can work through. It is your spirit flowing in and through and out of me. If anything is ever accomplished, it is only done by you. When pride gets in, we think, I could do this, I could do that, I could do the other. I can't do anything. But through Christ that strengtheneth me, through the power of the Holy Ghost, we can do all things required of us to do by the Word of God. Coming of the Holy Ghost meant Christ in you. Come on, sis. The coming of the Holy Ghost meant Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All that he was, all that he is. Through the Holy Ghost comes to live on the inside of my life. All of his resources. To live a victorious life when the Holy Spirit comes in is on the inside of you. Preacher told one of his young ministers, when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like you want to throw in the towel, stir up the gift of God that is within you. Because that gift is the operator of all the resources of God. Everything you need is found to be administered by the Holy Spirit. The Father's a giver. Jesus Christ paid the price. But I want to tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that brings it to your life. And if he brings in, comes into your heart, he brought Christ with him. All of the Godhead fully and bodily lives in him. I'm here to tell you, on the inside of your life tonight, if you have him in your soul, you have resources to meet every need and help you to be overcome any opposition that you're into. Don't look to somebody else. Don't reach to grab a friend. They have nothing to offer but a bare hand. But deep on the inside of you, there is a well of living water springing up into life. And wherever that water flows, it brings life. I hope we can let it flow in Laurel County. You got family, I got family. We need to be saved. It is only through the moving of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that it'll be accomplished. Hallelujah. Whatever you need to draw from his Spirit, it's within you, the resources that you need. I was thinking about that the other day. The Holy Spirit comes to an old boy, bankrupt, couldn't dig himself out of the hole he had to, eternally hopeless, lost, bound for a devil's hell. And the Holy Spirit comes by and nudges him. Hey, buddy, here's a bank draft to heaven. Fill it out. It's already paid for. According to the riches of his glory, his streets are made of gold. Walls are made of jasper stone. Gates of pearl. He is beyond treasures. But the greatest thing there, folks, is that one that sits at the right hand of the Father, gave his life for me, that can
give me that draft on heaven and say, you can be saved. You can get out of jail free. I paid your debt. I went to that cross. I paid your debt. That boy, that girl of yours, you have hope tonight because of the Spirit that lives within you. Because it knows no barrier. It knows no span of time. It'll go thousands of miles. It can go into Afghanistan to that preacher's son that's over there on drugs and alcohol. It can convict his life and save him in a foxhole or in a motel room or in a tank or in a Hummer going down the road. It knows no space or time. It is the element with which we can draw from. We're not without hope. It's still flowing tonight. If you don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you need it. We got a church, many great church people, church members going to church, and they love the Lord, and they do anything in the world for the church. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they don't have it. And they're not putting a lot of effort out to seek for it. You need it to make you efficient for the day that we live in. Effective witness for the Lord. Overcomer by His Holy Spirit dwelling and living inside of us. If you sickness in your life, you got a problem, you got a kid, you got anything you need, the resources is still here. I'm drawing from heaven on that resource tonight. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. I'm hungry for a move of God. I'm hungry for a touch of heaven. I'm hungry to see in our churches sinners run into an altar. I know somebody here the other day, I said, when I was in a grade school up in Harlan County, we had a meeting up there that lasted about 4 weeks. And I saw big old football players. Some of them, they were from all walks of life, as Catholics, as Polish people, all kinds of different nationalities and different religions. But they had a revival. The old boy preaching didn't have much education, but he'd been with God a long time. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost fell, and I saw them big football players. Some of them never darkened the doors of church in their life. Laying on the floor, rolling, speaking in tongues. I'm here to tell you, the church needs, as Samson said, Lord, let me feel it again. Give us another revival, an outpouring of your Spirit that will not just change a little here and a little there, but it'll transform our entire thinking of who He is and what we are in Him. Now I'm going to make this altar call in this way. If you want filled, you want refilled, you want to be greater used than what you are, I want you to come and stand, and we're going to pray together and believe God for a move of revival to challenge our hearts to see people saved, sick healed, people delivered and set free. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Would you come? Come and cleanse. I got a thirsting of my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, would you feed me till I want no more? Here I am, Lord. Fill me up and make me whole one more time. Here's my cup, Lord. Tonight, Lord, I'm lifting my vessel up to you. I'm hungry. Come and cleanse. I got a thirsting of my soul. Oh, bread of heaven, tonight, Lord, would you feed me? Till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up. Hey. Tell him what you need. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. The payment. Our forgiveness. Lord, the avenue with which you prayed the Father, and the Father sent the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, you would revive in us. As David said, create in us not only a right spirit, but a fullness of your Spirit, that we might know you in the depths that you'd have us to know you.
birth in us, God, a greater hunger to know you in greater measure, to feel your presence in greater measure, that we may be more effective in the church, out of the church. The prayers of the saints may be able to turn some soul around in this hour we live in. Send a hovering of your Spirit, Lord, among your people. God, in this building tonight, there are many great people. People that love you with all of their heart. But we need a refreshing. We need some of that latter rain, Lord. That first rain was for the planting of the seed. Lord, the harvest has got to be done. We need another refreshing latter rain in these days that we live in. Birth within us, dear God, a hunger for the flow. Birth within us, dear God, a desire to see your anointing flow. Birth in us a hunger, dear God, to souls to be saved. May we take it, dear God, as a personal ministry to weep between that porch and the altar for the souls of people in Laurel County. They're dying. They're going to hell. We are the only medium with which you can use to reach them. We're the testimony. We're the advertisement. We're the billboard. We're the only thing standing between them and hell. God, help us to realize our responsibility and pray earnestly and sincerely until conviction begins to grip the hearts of those. Use us in greater measure. Refill us, God. Put us under the spout until it's a continual overflowing. It's a continual overflowing that we might be able to help others along life's journey. Use us for the building up of your kingdom, and that alone. Make us, dear God, adequate for the day we live in with power from on high. We feel so helpless sometimes dealing with the problems of family and problems with lost. But Lord, you are one that makes us adequate through your Spirit to rise above every dark cloud, to rise above every trouble, every doubt is all washed away when that sweet Holy Spirit begins to let us realize it's still flowing in our lives. Glory to God in our lives.